Good morning, everybody, and welcome to Coffee and Football, presented by John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group. I'm your host, Blake Monroe, where I'm joined by Bobby Burton. Jerry Hamilton will be with us here in a little bit. He's on his way to Austin. Lots to talk about this morning. Be sure to tell us where you're checking in from, what you're drinking, all that good stuff. And Bobby, back to practice today, spring practice. Sark, of course, going to meet with the media after that, but we're back on it, man.
Yeah, I'm excited. Another day of practice, another viewing session for media. Jerry Hamilton and CJ are actually on their way there now. We didn't get note of this until late yesterday, but this is good stuff. The actual workout today will be in DKR too, by the way, Blake. So it's not even going to be on the regular Denny's practice fields. So this is good stuff. Longhorns, this will be practice number four. They had three practices last week, Tuesday, Thursday, and then Saturday. Sunday at around 1 was a walkthrough. So that doesn't really count as a practice. No football on the field, et cetera. All they did was walk through as a team. And then today, they'll go Monday, Wednesday, Friday this week. So it should be good. A lot of good stuff going on the 40 acres overall, though. Texas takes the series over Baylor. Then the women beat Alabama yesterday to go into the Sweet 16. Congratulations to them. It's a fun time on the 40 acres. A lot of recruits on campus, including KJ Lacy, the quarterback out of Saraland, Alabama. He got an invite yesterday at the Elite 11 camp in Austin, as did Keelan Russell, the quarterback out of Duncanville that Texas has been talking to. So all in all, it was a pretty good weekend for the Longhorns. And now we get to start it off with a little football practice news and notes as well. So excited about that.
That's right. And I talked to Jerry this morning, Bobby. Five-star offensive tackle Josh Petty out of Georgia was on campus as well. He's going to have some notes on that when he joins us. So be sure to stay tuned for that as well. Well, lots of good news, as you said, and then a little bit of bad news as Texas basketball falls to Tennessee 62-58 over the weekend. What were your thoughts there?
I thought that my eternal thought is that was like the most typical Rick Barnes game I've seen. I feel like I watched that for 20 years, right? And it was just on repeat. Very, very scrappy, somebody described it as a rock fight, two teams that weren't necessarily great scoring teams, but scrappy, et cetera. Texas had a chance at the end. They fought very, very hard, I think, but it was ugly basketball, ugly basketball for at least two thirds, if not three quarters of that game. The Longhorns, though, just didn't have it in the end. I felt like Tennessee really, they may have had a little bit more cohesiveness, I guess is the best way to put it, compared to Texas late in that game. And Texas did not take care of the ball. NCAA tops so far for turnovers in a single game, by the way, in the NCAA tournament was 17, Blake. Yeah. So you want to know where that game was lost. It was mostly there. So just understand that. Hey, before we get going further, and like you said, Jerry is coming, we want to say thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan, president of Longhorn Wealth Management Group. John wants to start off by taking a moment to wish all of the On Texas football family a blessed and happy Easter this coming Saturday. He also wants to remind you that March is Women's History Month, and Longhorn Wealth wants to wish our women's basketball team great luck as they move into the Sweet 16 in pursuit of making their own history of winning their first national championship since 1986. As a reminder, John is a certified financial planner who has spent more than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to his clients. His firm is dedicated to providing total wealth management for Texas alumni, employee, family, and friends. Give John and his team a call at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation to explore how they can help you achieve truly tax-optimized financial independence. That's 972-707-4900 for a free 90-minute consultation. Thank you, John, for your sponsorship, bud.
Bobby, plenty of time for people out there to get their questions in, so please do so. We'll get to those in a minute. I wanted to read this. This one kind of cracked me up. Lance Miles says, good morning. High school coach checking in from Fort Worth needs something stronger than water to deal with.
Look up, coach. Yeah. A lot of coaches were, and by the way, it was a coaching conference at Texas over the weekend. Sean McVay, the LA Rams coach, was one of the guest speakers. Interesting thing for me, Blake, that I saw on over the weekend. We talked to a couple of those coaches that were in town watching Texas practice on Saturday. A couple notes. One was the first team defense right now. Michael Taft and Derek Williams, first team safety. Andrew Makuba and Jelani McDonald are running second team. Jelani McDonald and Trey Wisner are first team gunners at this point on punt. That they'll be taking the place, it looks like, Keaton Crawford and Keelan Robinson. So make that note in your book. The other thing that I want to mention that I'm really looking for today and this further this week, the second week last year, Blake, is when the coaches made the moves with any newcomers. Mm. They said, okay, you're good. Like Amari Nyblak's been running 15 tight end.
Yeah,
through the first three practices. Okay, he's not the 15 tight end.
No,
so it's the second week of practice where the majority of these guys make their moves. Makuba is right now running second team. He could stay there for a while, by the way, but because he's got good guys in front of him. But then you have Trey Moore running second and third team, different spots. That's not going to last very long. Matthew Golden running, I think, second and third team as well. We'll see if that lasts. There's a number of different guys is what I'm getting at. T.O. Savea running third team. You know, I don't think that's going to last for him. So we'll see what happens there. And then also we'll see if some of those freshmen get pushed forward now in week two compared to some guys that are a little bit older than. And so I'll give you an example. Is Alex January going to move ahead of Sadir Mitchell? Right? Is Jordan Washington going to move ahead of either Spencer Shannon or Will Randall at tight end? What about Brandon Baker at right tackle and Andre Kojo and that battle? So there's a number of different pieces to this, but I think that the second week is typically when we start to see movement on a depth chart that is perceived as much as anything.
Well, Bobby, let me ask you this. I mean, you know, we're a few practices in now, obviously. Has there been a storyline or a player, whatever it may be, that's kind of caught you by surprise or maybe that you didn't expect to hear so much about that you've heard good things about?
Well, Ryan Wingo caught me a little by surprise in that first practice because he is – look, I said this. I think he's the most – I don't want to say the most talented wide receiver prospect Texas has signed since Roy Williams, but he's the most – NFL talent kind of guy, because Xavier Worthy is extraordinarily talented. I mean, he just ran a 4.21 or whatever. But Wingo is the 6'2", 200-pound, prolific, top 10 pick type of guy, right, that you might see. He was a little bit – Ryan Wingo is a little bit better than anticipated. Aaron Butler was better than anticipated. Maybe the two guys that I saw that were – more surprising than maybe most people would give them credit for out of the gate, Jordan Washington at tight end, and then also Alex January at defensive tackle. So you know when you're tossing those names around in your head, those guys look like they might be able to contribute sooner than perhaps anticipate.
Graham Fan Madden says Aaron Butler going to be the surprise of the class and Mac, in his opinion.
So, yeah, Wardell Mack's working at corner, by the way. And so we'll see how that goes. Jerry and CJ will be at practice today for sure. Jerry is, I think, going to join us here as soon as he gets to town. He's fighting Austin traffic right now to get over to the facility. So he'll join us at that point in time. I think, wait a minute.
Yeah, I was about to say, I'll fix it here.
Speak and ye shall deliver. How's it going, Jerry Hamilton?
I'm good, man. I'm in the Manor parking garage in my car because it's still drizzling rain, waiting on, our media window for spring practice at 9. So, a lot of traffic getting in from Houston this morning. So anytime it's raining and you're on 71, it's going to back up at those lights. So we're here. We're ready to go. I think the weather's going to hold off here. It was really bad in Bastrop for a while of the drive. But, you know, we're here. And Mobile Command Center has we're good today. And we're going to watch a little bit of this media window coming up at 9.
Hey, Jerry, we were talking, Blake and I were talking. I wanted you to get to some recruiting news when you can. The offensive lineman, Josh Petty, out of Georgia, I believe, was on campus, as well as KJ Lacy. Tell folks a little bit about recruiting news. Catch them up. Because we caught them up on basketball, women and men, baseball, all that stuff. But you do your thing now.
Yeah. So I exchanged messages with somebody in the Petty family, Josh Petty. That's the big 4-star/5-star, depending on where people have him ranked, offensive tackle out of Roswell, Georgia, private school there in Roswell. Also, he's been runner-up in wrestling at 285 pounds in the last couple of years, so at that weight class. So really talented wrestler. He was on campus with California Power for an unofficial visit. Obviously, we've talked about Brandon Brown. I'll go into that a little bit. But the big news on Josh Petty is he had an amazingly good visit. Exchanged some messages with a family member on the drive this morning. Had a great visit, is what they said, to Texas. And the big news for Texas is now the family, mom, dad, and Josh, they're looking at a trip to return to Texas so the parents can see the campus. And that's kind of the next step in the recruiting process here, because this was a kid that Texas had offered. Then Sarkisian and Tashard Choice went by the school in January to see him. And since that time, Kyle Flood, Sarkisian, Choice, they've all been in contact with the family. So then he gets on campus here last Friday with California Power. This was his first look at the University of Texas, similar to Brandon Brown, even though Brown was committed. So this was his first look at Texas. He had great things to say about the Texas visit, especially to his mom and dad. And now they're looking at setting up a return trip in April, a date to be determined, to get on campus. And if that happens, then I think you'll see a June official visit after that. Florida State, Georgia, Tennessee, Clemson, Auburn, those are your power players in this recruitment. But again, Texas is going after the best kids in the Southeast region, and Josh Petty is one of those.
Hey, Jerry, tell us a little bit about KJ Lacy. He made the Elite 11 over the weekend. Texas also talking to Keelan Russell out of Duncanville. What's the situation at quarterback right now for the Longhorns?
Yeah, so KJ Lacy will be on campus April 6th. He'll also be on campus April 20th. He's also got the official visit scheduled for June 21st through 23rd. Obviously, Auburn, Ole Miss, Oregon, those are the schools that are really trying to come in and recruit KJ Lacy. But I think KJ Lacy is solid with Texas. He has no other visits planned, he told CJ Vogel right now. So I think he's solid with Texas, and he's got three visits coming up. Obviously, Duncanville quarterback Keelan Russell was at the Elite 11 yesterday as well. CJ Vogel caught up with him. Keelan Russell is going to be at the Texas spring game April 20th. I believe that's when DeCorian Moore will make a visit to Texas, is April 20th for the spring game. But Keelan Russell's had a lot of offers come his way. Obviously, he talked to Steve Sarkisian for the first time last week, which is a development. But before that, it was Jeff Banks with the correspondence, because Jeff Banks obviously recruits that school for Texas. So, you know, KJ Lacy remains solidly committed. Texas is, you know, talking to Keelan Russell. So that's your two quarterbacks that Texas is talking to in this class. And obviously KJ's been committed a long time. He's continued to go on visits other places. He doesn't have any other visits planned right now. So that's where things are at with KJ Lacy and Keelan Russell.
Hey, Jerry, I want to take you to another recruiting topic, if you don't mind, real quick. Two defensive tackles committed elsewhere yesterday. Yep. Floyd Guidry out of Spring committed to TCU. Gus Cordova, who has, you know, had a very storied history in a short period of time over at Lake Travis, committed to USC. Texas, the defensive line board shrinking a little bit. Any cause for concern there? I know Brandon Brown was on campus as well over the weekend. What are your thoughts?
No, not at this point in time, because look, I mean, Floyd Guidry was scheduled to visit April 6th, but Texas had not locked in an official visit date with him. And I think with A&M and Texas not really pushing for official visits yet, I think that kind of accelerated Floyd's process, because TCU went all in on him and LSU had not scheduled an official visit either. I think we're look towards Chase Sims at Richmond Randall, who's coming in to Texas for a visit April 6th. I think that's one to watch there. And Zion Williams obviously is very high on the board, June 21st through 23rd, official visit scheduled the same weekend. Brandon Brown. Brandon Brown will be back June 14th through the 16th. And Josiah Sharma, I expect him on campus here in the next 2 or 3 weeks. If that visit happens, I think you'll see Texas get an official visit in June. That's the defensive tackle out of Folsom High, who I think is one of the best in the country, period. Texas also, you know, I think this is spring evaluation period for Kenny Baker, and this staff's going to be really big at D-line. Derry Norris, right out of Spruce Creek over in Port Orange, Florida. Texas is swinging at Myron Charles. I continue to hear more FSU on that. He was at FSU this weekend. Kevin Wynn, I spoke to somebody close to Kevin Wynn's recruitment out of Greensboro, Georgia, Greene County. It doesn't look like he's going to visit Texas in April. That one's more of a FSU, Alabama, Georgia. But he's not going to sign in December as of right now. He's not an early graduate unless he changes course. So that's one I'm watching for Texas to kind of continue to hang around the rim on and see if they get him on campus. But I think the spring evaluation period is going to be big. When Kenny Baker gets out and sees these kids for the first time in person, a kid like Derry Norris, it wouldn't shock me if he's not on campus at some point in time. He just scheduled an official visit to Miami June 7th through 9th. So he's got NC State and Miami locked in for sure. And I think his visit dates, he has a couple others, but I think they're subject to change because his recruitment's blown up. So I think Texas is in on a number of guys. But again, this spring evaluation period is going to be key. And then getting those guys on campus for June official visits.
Yeah, KJ Lacy will actually be on campus the rest of today, I believe. He's going to be at practice, Jerry, that you'll be going to here in a few minutes as well. We're starting to get into that time period where these visits are getting ready to be made. April 6th, this coming weekend, I believe Easter, the week after that, you have the next visit weekend for Texas. We're getting close to where recruiting decisions are going to start getting made, Jerry. Coaches can then go back out on the road, I believe, on April 15th. Texas most likely won't do that because they're still going to have spring ball until April 20th. But we're getting ready to hit a run right now of spring recruiting that's going to be very, very interesting to me. Jerry, also interesting to me is this. Do you mind reading our next advertiser? Because this one always kind of gets me a little bit, bud.
Guys, look, let's get real. It's time for your spring cleaning, okay? And I'm not talking about the garage for your significant other. This episode is brought to you by the spring cleaning champions, Manscaped. This season, make sure to groom your carpets and the drapes with the leaders in below-the-waist grooming. Clear out that winter bush with Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 and watch your confidence bloom like springtime flowers. Embrace the season and join the 10 million men worldwide who trust Manscaped with our special offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code COD, all caps, for 20% off plus free shipping. And look, guys, after using Manscaped, I can finally say I've caught spring fever. This is the season's champ, the Lawnmower 5.0. If anybody's cutting down the nets other than the basketball team in April, it's Manscaped.
I read that read this weekend, and I said, Jerry Hambleton is going to love this, and he did not do it any disservice. That code on Texas at yep. manscaped.com.
That's a tough act to follow, guys.
It's unbelievable. Unbelievable. Why don't you talk for a second?
But yes, manscaped.com, promo code on Texas. And let's move on, guys. We got a lot of questions here. We got Jerry for a little amount of time. So let's start with this one from Living Rent Free in UT. Jerry, what's the best case scenario for O-line commitments?
you know, that's a good question. I think Fasusi's at the top of the line, an offensive tackle. And I think John Mills is very – those two guys could call and commit right now. I don't have any doubt about it. But, look, there's 9 or 10 scheduled for official visits. I believe Nick Brooks out of JFK and Cedar Rapids, Iowa, will schedule an official visit to Texas. He had tentatively locked in June 21st through 23rd, but Iowa's requested the last visit. And I think Iowa's in kind of save mode in this recruitment right now. He's going to Georgia the first weekend in June, that May 31st, June 2nd weekend. I think Texas is looking to get Nick Brooks on campus June 14th through 16th. But look, where it goes, look, I think Kyle Flood's going to continue to evaluate these guys in the spring. You know, Devin Coleman is a guy that's been a riser since the end of the season with college coaches. First season on the offensive line, playing for Marcus Hutchins, former Texas offensive lineman. His brother Jordan Coleman, squatting over 600 pounds, very impressive. I was at Cedar Hill a few weeks ago to watch those guys. Jackson Christian at Port Neches Groves. There's a number of ways this offensive line going. I think it's to be determined. I think that's the reality. It's to be determined where this offensive line class is going to go because they're going to have 10, 11, or 12 guys officially visit. And let's see what happens with Josh Petty coming up. After this visit Friday, Josh Petty and his family are looking to get back on campus. And you got to remember how Brandon Baker's recruitment went last year. Brandon Baker didn't come to the January junior day. He showed up for the Texas spring game. And once him and his family were at that visit, that recruitment really got kickstarted. Then you had the official visit, and Texas eventually beat out Ohio State, Oregon, and a couple of others for Brandon Baker. So I think the patience, Sark's going to play the long game. Kyle Flood's going to play the long game. But they have 9 guys scheduled for official visits right now. And I think that number will grow to 11 or 12, and I think it's going to be a 5-man offensive line class. So which way it goes, Bobby, is to be determined.
Hey, we have some questions here about the Nebraska quarterback commit, TJ Latif, out of Orange Lutheran in Southern California. I did some digging on this. Here's the reality of it right now. And we mentioned Keelan Russell. Texas is concerned about KJ Lacy potentially having dalliances with other schools. He is going to be that kind of recruit. He absolutely dazzled yesterday, according to CJ Vogel, who was at the Elite 11 in Austin. Absolutely looked terrific. KJ Lacy is doing nothing but the right things right now and going to Texas, et cetera. But Texas feels like he's going to be a difficult recruit in some ways to keep the whole way through. Not wrong, but Texas is going to put some lines in the water elsewhere. We mentioned Keelan Russell. TJ Latif is another one, okay? Committed to Nebraska, but Texas and Johnny Nansen in particular has a strong tie to that school, not unlike Jeff Banks has a strong tie to Duncanville, right? And so in part, and of course Sark is from Southern California as well. My point being, some of that has to do with strong ties that the individual assistant coaches have to those areas, right? And so let's wait and see how this plays out. It could be all for naught because, frankly, KJ Lacy lit it up yesterday and looked absolutely terrific for
– And, Bobby, we've had some questions about a 2-man quarterback class. Very rarely do guys want to be part of a 2-man quarterback class. Just something to keep in mind, I think. The thought of that, I mean, Keelan Russell, I pretty much told CJ Vogel yesterday, he doesn't have interest in being part of a 2-man recruiting class at quarterback. So not many guys do. So that would be something interesting to follow long-term. I tend to think Texas will end up getting 1 quarterback again, because if you take 2 in this class, what does that do for Troy Hoon and those guys in 2026?
Yeah, that's what I thought too.
Yeah, that I just don't see that happening.
All right, guys, we got a super chat here from Juan. Thank you, Juan. He says, Jerry, what do you think of the USC recruiting uptick? Do you think Lincoln got it right with the defensive staff? Yeah. Also, what do you think of Dusty May to Michigan? Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think De'Anton Lynn was a tremendous hire at D coordinator. I think Eric Henderson was a really good hire at D line coach. I mean, that was Aaron Donald's handpicked D line coach. So that guy forever gets to say, I was the guy that Aaron Donald picked to coach him. I mean, that's a pretty good recruiting pitch, right? But I do think De'Anton Lynn was a really solid hire for USC. And look, I think in a way, Lincoln's back's against the wall. I mean, last year was a disappointing season. You can't really have two disappointing seasons in a row getting paid $10 million. So I think USC's got – they are forced to have an uptick in recruiting on the defensive side. But I think those are two solid hires for USC, especially Eric Henderson. I think he's got a message in D-line recruiting. I mean, that Aaron Donald, being handpicked by Aaron Donald to be his guy, that's a strong message in recruiting, especially on the West Coast right now. So I think these are solid hires. Dusty made a Michigan. Like, he's one of the top young coaches in college basketball, right? I mean, I think that's a solid, solid hire for Michigan if that comes to pass. I don't think Michigan could make a much better hire than that in college basketball right now. If you look around at the top five young coaches in college basketball, that under 45 group, or that under 50 group, Dusty May, he went to a Final Four, got back in the tournament, obviously lost in the first round. But, you know, if you're at FAU and you go to the tournament 2 years in a row and one of those is a Final Four, that's pretty good business. That makes you a lot of money.
And speaking of USC, QWERTY says Gus Cordova commits to Southern Cal. Didn't see that coming. We saw him go off the board this weekend, along with Byron Washington, who went to Syracuse, I believe. Were either one of you surprised by those?
No. Look, Byron Washington, I think's recruitment had kind of slowed down a little bit. He's a guy who, you know, great kid. So funny, fun to be around. Got to watch his weight. I mean, he's got to watch his weight. And I think that caused some teams to peel off of him, Bobby. I mean, once you start creeping up to that 400 number, that's a lot different than 375. And if you're going tipping the scales over 400 at times, that scares a lot of people off because he's still a young guy. That means there's a lot of work to do on a kid to get him where he needs to be to play at an SEC type of level. So that did not surprise me at all. Gus Cordova, I think getting away. Bobby, I think getting away, kind of hitting the restart button in college is not a surprise at all.
No, not a surprise. And, you know, look, I'm not one of those guys that wants to condemn a 16, 17-year-old guy. And he was 16 at the time. I'm not there. And I know some people are like, oh, you should. And I can't. And especially knowing what I know about how the Lake Travis coaches feel about Gus Cordova and see him as a leader of their team. I know what the public perception is there, and I don't necessarily disagree with some of it, but condemning him forever is not the way to go for a 16-year-old guy. It's just not. So I wish him nothing but the best of luck, and I hope hope he changes, et cetera, throughout all of it. Hey, Jerry, my next question is to you. What are you wanting to see right now from this practice coming up here in less than really 20 minutes when you'll be walking over to DKR?
Yeah, so, you know, in the media windows, we don't get the full treatment, right? We don't get the full look. But, you know, I'll be interested to see Brandon Baker. I hear he's doing tremendous. Get a push Kojo at right tackle for that number two spot. I want to see that. He looked great physically at Texas Pro Day last week. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt about that. And you know, and I continue to hear the offensive line is way ahead of where they were last spring. And that's saying something, but it's also not totally surprising because this 2022 class has grown up and Jake Majors returned for another year. And Hayden Connor and those guys are experienced players. Cam Williams, while he's inexperienced as far as Power Five starts, he's an experienced player in this program. The expectations, the technical development, and then the depth. You know, you look at Trevor Goosby as a second-team left tackle, and Jaden Chapman working at some third-team left tackle, also getting some looks at guard. Daniel Cruz had a really good practice on Saturday as a third-team center. Texas has never been this deep at center, so I'm just excited about what's been built on the offensive line because I think it's so key moving forward in the SEC. And then, you know, the young safeties as well. You know, Phil Samee, and Jordan Johnson-Rebell running third team right now. I mean, those guys have shown well early in spring practice. Jelani McDonald at second team safety, as well as being one of the key guys as a gunner. He looks tremendous physically. Then Jure Bledsoe running second team on the D-line some. Jare Bledsoe is one of the key guys for me. Sidir Mitchell, Jare Bledsoe. Those guys are so key for me if Texas maximizing next year. Because I'm on record, and I'm not going off record. I think Texas may be a better team next year than they were this year. I think they are going to be a better team next year than they were this year. It doesn't mean you're going 11-1 because you are playing a tougher schedule and tougher competition now week in, week out. But I think Texas is going to be a better team this year. And I think Jare Bledsoe, if he doesn't come on this year, I'll be a little surprised. I mean, when you pound for pound, he's as good an athlete as there is in the program. He's in year three now. People got to remember, you know, his first year when he graduated early and came to spring practice, then he missed half of that with hernia surgery. So that set him back on the field. He missed his whole senior year with a BS UIL ruling. So he's missed a lot of time. So this is the spring in the season where he should take a big step. And Texas needs to have him take that big step. Sidir, you know, obviously battling some sickness as we've reported. So you got to get him right. But I think Jare Bledsoe has a chance to be an impact player for Texas this year. And it's his time. I mean, he's up to 295, 300 pounds. He looks great physically. And Bobby, the other thing's the running back room. I mean, I've been told a couple times that there's a belief that there's four or five guys in the running back room that could be drafted one day or play in the NFL. I mean, that is serious.
Here's my take on this, Jerry, just to, and I don't mean to talk over you there. You came out with a pretty big statement. You think they could be a better team than they were a year ago. Yeah. They're more talent. Here's the reality, and I just went through it in my head. Every position on the team, in my opinion, perhaps with the two exceptions, quarterback where they lost Malik and defensive tackle where you lost Murphy and Sweat. Other than those two positions, I think Texas is a deeper team across the board. I mean,
and as crazy as this
sounds, I'm not saying that they're as high end because Jalen Ford is a loss, right? And they have to replace him. But boy, they've got young guys coming in.
Yep.
Anthony Hill is going to be older. At safety, they lost Jaren Thompson and Keaton Crawford. They're going to be better.
Yep.
At corner, they lost Ryan Watts. Well, some of those young guys are coming.
Yeah.
They've got better. They lost Jonathan Brooks. Well, the older guys, some of the younger guys are getting older, and they brought. So I think they actually have more depth than they've had in 15 years. More like 20.
Yeah.
To be honest. I mean, maybe going back to 2005. That's the depth level that Texas has on this team. Doesn't mean, to your point, they're going to go 11-1.
Right.
It doesn't work that way.
See how it shakes out in the spring portal. Hey, guys, I got to get running to practice. We'll be back, Bobby, for a live stream coming up after the media window.
All right. Hook up, Jerry. Thank you, buddy. All right. Hey, as Jerry leaves, I want to say thank you to our newest sponsor. Here we go.
Put them on.
There we go. Gooder, the stylish sunglasses, starting at only $25 a pair. You can get two or three and still get in and out without $100 or under $100. 10% off using the code on Texas. At gooder.com/on Texas, all UV protected, all polarized, just about all of them, only 25%. They're so affordable. I never worry about losing or breaking them. I've got three of them myself. And that's kind of the key for me. Whenever I use sunglasses, I'm worried about putting them down on the beach somewhere or leaving them outside and they get all warped and stuff. With Gooder, you don't have to worry about that. You can get some nice sunglasses. Get them there. They've got 50,000 plus five-star reviews. They really are affordable. You can still buy your really, really nice ones if you want to. If you're going to Saint-Tropez or, I don't know, the Redneck Riviera and 30A down there, you can buy those nice ones. But these are ones that are for everyday use, really a bunch of different kinds of frames, looks. What I like about them, actually, is they don't slip. So every single one of these don't slip on me, Blake, that I've tried on and worn. Really good stuff. So that's Gooder. Gooder.com/on Texas. Use code on Texas to get 10% off. Gooder offers a 30-day money-back guarantee as well and 100% satisfaction. Again, that's Gooder.com/on Texas and use code on Texas to get 10% off. Thank you for sponsoring On Texas Football today.
That's right. Looking good, Bobby. Looking good in those.
Hey, I got it. I'm not as cool as Jerry. I can't do the Manscaped read as well as him.
Hey, I was going to actually bring this up as you were doing the gooder read there. Texas posted a new video here, and I was getting people talking about needing their fix. We'll give you about 24 seconds of a fix, letting you see some of this spring practice.
That was from Saturday, obviously, with the pads on there. Number 26 running was Trey Wisner. Obviously, zero is DeAndre Moore. I'm just looking at some of the letters. That 88 there at the end was Baron Sorrell. So good stuff from I continue to think that the Longhorns are doing a good job on the social media front. I do have one note. Somebody is asking me this. This is a question from Graham Fam Madden. They said Keelan was better than Lacey yesterday, Bobby. That's not true. That's not what CJ said, and he was there. I actually texted him when I saw that comment because that wasn't what he relayed to me. What I was relayed from CJ here, and I'll just pretty split, Lacey, better touch, Russell, bigger arm. So you're not wrong. You're not right. It's kind of somewhere in the middle. Pretty split, Lacey, better touch, Russell, bigger arm.
There you go. All right, Bobby, we got another super chat that we need to get to here from Daniel. And thank you, Daniel. He says, out of the 2024 recruits who did not enroll early, who do you think is going to have the biggest impact long term?
Wow. Who did not enroll early?
Wasn't many of them.
That's for sure. But you know what? Last year, one didn't enroll early and had a pretty big impact. That's Derek Williams, right? Yep. The year before that, another one didn't enroll early and had a pretty big impact. That was Kelvin Banks. Both those guys ended up being starters. Let me look at the 2024 list and see if I can't really come down and see if there's one that I'm waiting to see.
How about Michael Kern?
Well, he's definite. Like, that's no doubt. I mean, he's the guy that's going to fight for that job, if not get it. Unless they go and get somebody in the portal. I had, by the way, I forgot to mention this the other day. I had heard Texas has identified someone as a punter in the portal.
Ah.
So not saying the name or any of that other stuff, but Jeff Banks doing work is what I'm hearing on that regard. So y'all watch out for that. We'll see. The portal opens, I believe, April 15th, by the way. So we may know a little bit more at that time. There's only four. You mentioned Michael Kern, Melvin Hill's defensive tackle. I don't see that. He's not physically ready. I mean, that's just a tough position. Nate Kibble. I don't see an offensive lineman, an interior lineman making a big push early. Santana Wilson at corner. Entirely possible, but, you know, they've got two starting corners coming back. I don't know. Michael Kern is the obvious answer if they don't domino on someone out of the portal that we think is going to be an immediate starter for.
Now, Daniel did say long-term. I don't know if he means throughout their collegiate career or long-term into the season. He didn't really specify, but if you did have to say throughout the collegiate career, who are you picking?
I would go Nate Kibble of that group. Yeah, I think Nate Kibble has got he's got NFL potential. Not saying that the other guys don't, but his arm length and you know what? They're getting ready to be older at offensive guard. DJ Campbell could go early in the pros. I mean, he wants to go pro. Mm-hmm. So if he has a great year, Cole Hudson's going to be a junior. You have Malik Ogbo getting up there now. He's going to be a junior. You have all these guys that are literally getting ready to graduate that were upperclassmen, and the young guys are going to have to fill in. So I think Kibble's timing is right at Texas.
Lots of people agreeing with you there. And then this next question comes from Horn 7. He says, usually the offense trails the defense. What does it say if the offense is clicking this early?
Oh, this is the million-dollar question. I hate this because, you know, if the offense is doing well, the defense must suck. If the defense is doing well, the offense must be doing poorly. That's the nature of spring ball, right? They cancel each other out. I actually think it anytime like, I'll put it this way. The only time Texas had a good offense and a good defense where you literally would hear both sides getting the better of the other was the 2009 team. 2009 team that went to the national championship game had a really good defense and a really good quarterback, right? And so you heard a lot about that. Other than that, it's been pretty much one-sided one way or the other all these years. I do think that having a third-year quarterback really, really helps an offense in spring practice or any kind of practice, right? Because he knows the plays. You're going up against guys that may know the plays, but they don't get it out as quick. They can't move as quickly. I think that's pretty much it. I would give them that. And then also being able to handle pass rush and maybe on the third practice, you're not running blitzes. That would be another thing. You got to remember, third practice in, you're not giving the offensive line seven different looks. You're trying to get in and out of plays at that point in time.
It kind of reminds me of when Coach Pierce was on with us a couple of months ago, and he was talking about playing during the fall, and he's like, I'm so ready just to play a game, because he said he was driving himself crazy. Is it the pitching? Is it the hitting? You know, who doesn't do what well? And obviously, kind of the same thing as you're talking about there. Emmanuel Villafranco says, can you guys see Nyblack going over 1,000 yards? If so, how do you see that unfolding?
Yeah, so I don't see that. I don't see that. I think he's going to be in the 600 to 700 yard range, 500 to 700 yard range, maybe. Not unlike Jatavion Sanders' category, where he's 400 and up for a couple years in a row. Look, I think that these guys, I don't know if Texas is going to have a single 1,000 yard receiver. Everybody wants to, oh, we're going to have two or three guys. Steve Sarkisian likes to run the ball. He likes to be balanced. And when you have quality receivers across the board, you don't necessarily have one guy, right? Last year, I thought they had two guys, really, in Adonai Mitchell and Xavier Worthy. They don't have – as good as some of these guys are, I'm not sure anybody on campus is as good as Worthy and Mitchell right now. I think long-term they might be. Bond certainly is going to be in that category. But today, I don't think they have two receivers as good as Worthy and Mitchell. I mean, whoever – Bond would be the third of those receivers, by the way. Like, if you were to tell me how good is the receiver group at Texas, they got depth. I'm not sure they have a true number one unless Isaiah Bond emerges. So it's a little bit different. Like, if you're grading them, I'm not so sure Jordan Whittington wouldn't be – fifth, sixth, or seventh out of a group, right? Mm-hmm. But I do think that Worthy and Mitchell would be 1-2 off the board and then Bond 3 at this point, right? Yeah,
that makes sense for sure. And then AJ, you talked about the punter a minute ago, possible punter in the portal. But AJJ says, good morning, Bobby. How active do you think the spring transfer portal will be for Texas?
I think they're going to try to make it very active. From an intake standpoint, particularly at defensive tackle, I've mentioned this more than once. They're looking for two, not one, but two. They'll take whoever they will be judicious, though, with those two, by the way. For example, there's a defensive lineman out of Indiana by way of Texas Tech, Philip Bleedy. Texas hasn't offered him. There's a reason. He's not a nose guard. Texas doesn't necessarily need more three techniques, guys that line up over the guard, in between the guard and the center, a shade one way or the other. They need a true zero technique right now, Blake. Yeah. And those guys aren't necessarily out there. Bleedy is more of that three technique. So they need a zero right now. Two possibilities that I know of, one at Michigan and one at UCLA. Could both of them go in the portal? Could neither of them go in the portal? I don't know. We'll have to wait and see till April 15th. The bigger question I have, and this is not one that people are going to hear, is how many people might leave Texas? In the past, and I will say this, it has not hurt Texas, some of the guys that have left. And I try to say that with all due respect to some good guy. Malik Murphy, talented quarterback. We all know it. He's very talented. But it didn't hurt Texas. because Arch Manning was there. They had Trey Owens come in. It didn't really hurt. Quinn Ewers came back. Now, if Quinn Ewers would have left and Malik still transfers, that really would have hurt Texas, right? But Texas has not really been stung by the portal yet. I think that there's going to be a couple of guys leave in the portal, a la Trill Carter. Trill Carter did hurt Texas a little bit by his departure. That could sting Texas a little bit. I don't know who they are, but two or three guys that you'll kind of go, ooh, that guy was going to be in our two deep, but he's going to go try to start somewhere else. So,
well, a portal guy that hasn't made it to campus yet, Bobby, Silas Bolden and Living Rent Free News. He says, how do you guys see Bolden being used? Slot, special teams? What do you think?
Absolutely in the return game, guys. I was watching on Tuesday. I watched Isaiah Bond return punts, Jontae Cook. Ryan Winko was back there, just to give you an example of what they think of his ability. But I thought Bond looked good enough. I didn't think Bond looked like a Xavier Worthy, kind of loose-hipped, you know. I think Bolden will fit that criteria much, much better.
All right, we got time for some more questions here. If you have any, be sure to get them in. And Corey J wants to know, do you think Texas will ever take over in-state recruiting like Mack Brown did? Or is it too difficult now with the recruiting era that we're currently in?
I'd say never say never. Because the one thing about Texas is they've proven it more than once that they can do that. It's not, I mean, a lot of us think of Mack Brown as the guy that really did that. Well, Darryl Royal did it. Fred Akers did it for a couple of years until SMU started, you know, going nuts. So I think that it's been done before. Texas has that sort of, or can have that sort of swagger. So I would never say never on that. I just wouldn't. I think it's unlikely that they do it. And in part because, you know what, Texas may find guys outside the state that they like better than the in-state guys at certain positions. And right now, Sark has the ability and the chops to go outside the state. And he, unlike Mack, he's not really worried about it. And I want to add this. I mean, a lot of people talk about how Darryl Royal would offer players just to keep them away from other teams. Darryl Royal went outside the state like crazy, by the way. Not, I mean, Jim Bertel, I mean, Wisconsin, Colorado. I mean, he got them from everywhere. So I think that my take on it is it can get to a point where they're using Texas primarily and owning it. I don't know that as long as Steve Sarkisian's here, they're going to go there only, though. I don't see that, which is what Mack aspired to do.
Then on the porch, Sorrell says, what's going on in the edge room?
I'm waiting for those guys to tell us today. That's what I'm waiting on. You know, I want to hear what's going on with Trey Moore. I mentioned that. He's not starting yet. Baron Sorrell, Ethan Burkhardt, Justice Finkley in there. Colin Simmons, Zeno Umeozulu, Jamon Tapp. We want to hear what they're doing today, and that's going to be a big piece of it. All right, hey, Blake, we got to get going so those guys can get to their situation. So we're going to cut today's programming a little short. We will be back immediately following the window, the practice window availability here in the next 45 minutes. So just remember that as soon as that is available, we will be back. I want to say thank you to our sponsor, John Donovan. John wants to take this moment to wish all of the On Texas football family a blessed and happy Easter, as well as congratulate the UT women's basketball team for moving on to the Sweet 16. As a reminder, John is a certified financial planner who has spent more than 30 years providing investment, retirement, insurance, and estate planning services and solutions to his clients. His firm is dedicated to providing total wealth management for Texas alums, employees, family, and friends. John wants to offer a free 90-minute consultation to all Longhorns to help them improve their chances of ensuring a winning retirement. So please call John and his team at 972-707-4900 or visit longhornwealth.net for your free 90-minute consultation. Excited about the practice to get going right now. Blake, it's going to be a big week again for the Longhorns, not only from a practice perspective, but also recruiting perspective. I do believe some things might shake loose this week.
Hey, Bobby, real quick, people are asking, do you know approximately what time you guys will be back?
I bet 9:45 to 10, because it's supposed to, the window is supposed to start at 9 to 9:30. Jerry and CJ will be there. They'll be sending in some video that we'll have, be able to have on the show as well for you guys to see of the players, et cetera. So that's one of the reasons I've got to get going here so I can help prepare that.
All right, guys. So that's going to do it for today's episode of Coffee and Football. I want to thank John Donovan and Longhorn Wealth Management Group, along with Gooder and Manscaped for sponsoring today's show. Thank you all for tuning in. Be sure to hit that like and subscribe button if you haven't already, and ring the bell so you're notified anytime we go live, like we will be here in about 45 minutes to an hour. No better time than to do it now. And then head on over to OnTexasFootball.com for continuous coverage of your favorite team. So for Bobby Burton and Jerry Hamilton when he was with us, I'm Blake Monroe, and we'll see you tomorrow morning.
Let's see what happens today at practice, guys. We'll have a full report.